If you would quit talking, I could talk, and it would be so much better.
But I sound so damn good.
You do. God damn it, you're sexy.
So take a pause and then
go. Wait, do you boys need some time? I could leave for a moment.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll have plenty of time at the event. That's great. Thank you.
On average, 3 to 5 minutes. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tony, and welcome to the Jeep Talk Show, the premier show for Jeep enthusiasts and hardcore off-roaders. Whether you're new to the Jeep world or a seasoned Jeeper, we've got you covered with the latest news, tips, and advice to help you get the most out of your Jeep. On tonight's episode, Jeep Cherokee owners advise to park outside.
What? Okay.
That can't be good. In Newbie Nuggets, Wendy shares an update on the trail closures in the Southern California mountains. In our Gladiator update, snorkel. Why do people hate them? And in our must-have stuff for your Jeep, attack of the grays. How to fight back. You know, it's been a little over, or it's just a little over a week before the third annual Jeep Talk Show Off-Road Event Texas. I'll be there. Chuck will be there. And for the first time, Nikki G. No, not just at the event, but just outside in general. He usually just stays in the house. Nikki G will be flying in, so he'll need someone to ride with. We'll be picking straws. And truth be told, there will be 30 plus short straws to be picked. And that's it. No long ones. Yes, everyone is a winner, Nikki G.
Poor Nikki G.
I know how Nikki G thinks about it. It's like, oh, everybody's a winner then. Yes, everyone's a winner. Now, please join us on June 3rd, 8 a.m. Central Time at Area B at Hidden Falls Adventure Park. It's going to be a daily It's going to be a day of wheeling, meeting, and yapping to each other. You know, about Jeep stuff and such.
Sounds like a lot of fun, honestly.
Yeah, I think it will be.
Hey, Tony, Todd Bacon with Off-Roading 101. Looks like I might be trying to head up there, and maybe even Mike and Sue and another driver for from the Off-Roading 101 crew to be with you for the Jeep Talk Show host that you have on the 3rd of June. I just wanted to touch base and see if there's anything maybe that we could do to help you out while we're up there. Anyway, if you are interested, give me a call back on my personal number. Have a fantastic day.
Well, thank you, Todd. We'd love to have you out there. Hell, you don't have to come out there to work. You guys can just come out and ride and have fun and talk bad about everybody's technique, but, you know, like watching a bad movie or something.
No, pressure, though, Todd. No pressure.
No, I'm just kidding. They super, super nice. I took the 101 class for offroading101.com, and it was really, really nice. I mean, super helpful, no judgment, and telling you how what the little buttons and the levers are on your Jeep. It was wonderful. I don't care if you're an experienced wheeler, going out there and just seeing another way of doing things. A lot of it was just verification of what I already knew. But it's good to know that you're doing it the right way. I mean, just figuring out on your own doesn't always mean there's not a better way, right?
Yep, that's right.
So join us on June the 3rd, 8 a.m., we're going to have a lot of fun out there. Hidden Falls Adventure Park. Oh, and we'd like for you, it doesn't really have anything to do with anything but just for us, but we'd love to have the information. So if you wouldn't mind signing up for the headcount, it really is a lot for, we want to make sure we have enough trail leads. Last year we had 30 Jeeps, so we split everybody up into two groups of 15 or so. It wasn't exactly 30. I think it might have been 31 or something like that. We just don't want, 30 Jeeps all on one trail. It takes a long time to get through the trail with a bunch of Jeeps. So if we have even more people out there this year, we'd like to know ahead of time, and we might actually be able to utilize Todd's group to help with the trail leads if we need more than two leaders.
Well, so, this is a lot of things I talk about, Tony, when I talk about trail runs. And if you're new, you need to be there on time. That's important, because the other reason they want the head count is that you don't leave anybody behind. So don't show up late and expect them to be hanging around for you. So please, everybody, sign up and give them a head count. It does make a difference for those runs. It makes it more fun that way.
Yeah, and that will alleviate some stress there. But also, too, that it means some people will be late. I don't think we're actually heading out on the trail until like 9:30. I want plenty of time to meet with individuals, to air down, answer any questions, because this isn't necessarily an experience run. I mean, you don't have to have any experience. And you may have some questions that you want to ask before you go out there on the trail. It's very nerve-wracking taking something that costs tens of thousands of dollars or $800 in Chuck's situation out on the trail. Amen. that you might damage. So there's no guarantee that you won't, because you know, but you're in control of that. And the Jeep certainly can do what you're asking it to do. So, you know, just spend some time. We just want to spend some time with people, have a driver's meeting, and so on and so forth. But 8 a.m. At Area B there at Hidden Falls Adventure Park, the sooner you get there, the more questions and more time you can have talking with people there. So it's just a good idea. And don't quote me on the leaving time. I just made sure that the guys knew I didn't want to leave really quick. I want to make sure that we have plenty of time to interact with our listeners. The wheeling is fun, and the wheeling is what we really look forward to doing. But it's important to me, Chuck and Nikki G, to meet all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
It's time for the Jeep Talk Show with hosts Tony, Josh, Wendy, and Chuck.
Well, howdy, it's Wendy, and on this episode, I have some really great news about the trails here in Southern California.
I get the feeling you're lying to us, because it's great news in Southern California. Don't sound like they should go together.
Yeah, they don't, do they?
Mm. There's gorgeous places in Southern California, man.
Yeah, there are.
A lot of people are missing it. Yeah, they should stay there. Hey, this is Chuck, and it's my turn to let you guys know what I sound like, but I'm pretty sure you're just waiting for me to keep quiet.
Jeez. Well, speaking of keeping quiet, I get the feeling that Jeep in Detroit would like for the air quality people to shut the hell up already.
Again?
Yes.
Are they in trouble again?
Yes.
Oh dear, here we go.
I think the fourth time this has happened with air quality violations.
And what does it have to do with this time? Is it the paint? The odors from their paint booth?
The Jeep plant in Detroit for more nuisance odors from the paint used on the Grand Cherokee SUV produced there.
I thought they already took care of this last time. Didn't we talk about this before?
I think they've taken care of it three times before, or so they thought. I mean, it's paint. I mean, what can you do about the smell of paint other than not use paint? I guess they should go all stainless steel like they're doing on the Tesla truck.
But there's still going to be an odor. It's manufacturing of things. And people that live around there, I mean, really, do you honestly believe you're not going to smell anything? Have you been to Detroit? Just kidding. I don't know. I've never been to Detroit. I don't know. But if I went to LA.
I know what you're saying. It looks like it should smell bad.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
People slamming their phone down, deleting the Jeep Talk Show app.
That's it.
How dare you?
How dare you attack us? But it's such a pretty area. I mean, Michigan's beautiful, so at least the parts I've seen. But I don't understand why the plant can't either figure it out, or is the EPA have such a stringent, I don't know, what do they do? It's like a test? They must have a smell tester? What do you call that, Tony? Something you go out and actually test the odor.
They've hired somebody with a calibrated nose. Hey Chuck, now you are a past Californian. So, and now you work with cows, so you ought to have a very wide range of smell issues, where you were in California, where nothing smells bad, to working with cows in Kansas, where everything smells bad. What do you think about this? Is the paint smell something that would affect your quality of life?
Yeah, it wouldn't affect me at all, though I do think that people have gotten a lot softer as the generations continue to move on. And, you know, there's that common, you know, that last, you know, the new generation, they're terrible. But I don't really subscribe to that. But I do think that if you live downwind from an industrial area, I mean, it's just a part of life.
You should know what you're getting.
Right.
When I
lived in California, actually, we lived downwind from a pig farm. And the summertime sucked. I mean, it was terrible, but you know what? That's what my family could afford, and we grew up there. We're tougher than nails now because of it. And you know, you sit back and you go, okay, you live in an industrial area. You're downwind from a paint plant. Yes, there are mitigation systems in, you know, I am in, also in construction, so I understand that there's mitigation systems for these kind of things. However, comma, you can't stop everything. So there is different levels of smelly type paint, but move. But and then someone's going to say,
Go ahead. Yeah. It's no different than living downwind of a farm where they're growing cabbage, as an example, or, you know, some other type of food. I mean, when there's processing happening, you're going to have a smell. I mean, you don't have to like it. Like you said, just move.
Well, you know, there's the sewage system, little plant type things where they have to try to do something with that. And it's next to people's houses. And, you know, they don't put those things in before the neighborhood's built. They put those things in before the neighborhood's built. So when you're buying a house, you know, maybe you get a little discount because it's going to smell like shit. So
one of my true story, one of my buddies in California, you know, this is when we were in our, you know, early to mid 20s, you know, we're all knocking girls up and getting married and all that stuff. And he bought a beautiful brand new home, and man, it was great. And then I looked at him and I said, but isn't the rendering plant a mile up the road?
Oh, no.
And he goes, oh, yeah, but you can't smell it. And I'm like, yeah, but it's freaking, you know, January.
Yeah, the wind's
come
not blowing.
Come August, that entire freaking, like, subdivision found out why their houses were not as expensive as other ones. And everyone, I mean, there's like a 2-year turnover rate in that entire subdivision because they are downwind from a large rendering plant in the Central Valley of California.
Well,
all sales are made in January.
No, but here's the other problem. But Chuck, here's the other problem. So first off, the city council and people that approved those homes being built, they knew that was happening. But the other thing is people move into those homes and then they want the rendering plant to move. I'm sorry. That's been there forever. So you have that going on too with all sorts of different developments that, you know, you move into a neighborhood and all of a sudden you don't like whatever. Well, it was here before you moved in. So either you adapt or move somewhere else. I don't understand people sometimes. There you go.
Well, I think the EPA is just like another 3-letter government, you know, deal that, you know, the tobacco, guns and firearm or whoever the hell those other people are. And they just make up rules to make it so difficult for businesses also. You know, people are getting shut down because of, you know, EPA stuff. You know, I mean, out here in Kansas, there's rules and regulations that we're going to use air quotes that are, you know, governed by the state. And we just giggle at them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you come out here and, you know, put diapers on cows. Like it's not going to happen. Like good luck, but in a high populated area, the EPA kind of overreaches their bounds often, and I think this is one of the overreaches.
Well, we've got people that don't know what the hell they're talking about making decisions, and sadly, it comes across like a law, but it's not a law because only Congress can pass laws. So it's this meeting bullshit stuff that comes up and says, we need to do this. Well, why? Why do you need to do this? Is it something that you're trying to justify your organization for actually being there? I think that the states ought to be covering this stuff, not the federal government. The states have a better idea. And don't get me wrong, the state politicians are dumbasses too. But at least they're closer. At least they live closer to you. You can have a chat with them.
yes and no. In California, they live in those castles. You know, they're not close to any of us. Right. But if you look up the word dumbass, I'm pretty sure half of our politicians in California are right there in that picture.
and I'll be really clear. I mean, I'm definitely on one side of politics more so than the other, but they're all idiots. I mean, none of them are actual human beings that do what's right to be done. They're all vying for their next election so they can continue having a cushy job. So, yeah, anyway.
It's kind of why I like living in Kansas. Actually, our representative hunts my land. So I'm actually very good friends with our representative here. And Lonnie has been a damn fine guy to hang out with. And we drink beer.
Very cool.
He goes hunting our property. Yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. And he's We're one of those very few states that the administration isn't completely retarded. Just, you know, about 78% of them.
Yeah, it's sad, but yeah, I mean, if they could do some other job, they'd be doing that other job, right? Oh, speaking of jobs, I'd like to give you guys a job. It's called Patreon, and this job is to get you to subscribe. Hey, Chuck, you recently asked the question, what is Patreon? Yeah. Do you know the answer yet?
It's a thingy that I can listen to what I just said in a day or two.
Sooner.
We need to come up with a t-shirt that says thingy on it.
Here's a thingy you can listen to sooner.
and then for Christmas we could put mistletoe just right under the word thingy. To answer Chuck's question about what is Patreon and maybe yours, Patreon is a membership platform that makes it easy for creators to get paid. And we'd be creators in this this equation, Chuck. So I think we're all used to working and being paid. Instead of one employer, we have thousands, you the listener. Instead of one employer paying us thousands of dollars, you only have to pay us a few dollars, $5 actually. That's the power of numbers. So thank you for listening and being our employer. Help keep this show going so that each and every week you can hear the Jeep Talk Show by becoming a Patreon subscriber. Just go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact and click on the Patreon link at the top of the page. And thank you to everyone that has already become a subscriber. This means so much. Chuck, do you know what being a Patreon subscriber gets you besides just listening to the show and the warm fuzzy for keeping the Jeep Talk Show going?
I do not. What does it give us?
So, I mean, you either answer of the things that it provides, or I don't know, was a perfectly acceptable answer. So let me tell you. You get no ad episodes, so there's, because we have ads on our episodes now, and it's bringing in a little revenue, helped out for Easter Jeep Safari, and you get ad-free, and then you get early access. I always forget those words. The early access, sometimes days in advance, like you may get the flagship episodes, like the one you're listening to right now. You may be listening to this on Patreon right now, and it could be a Friday, a Saturday, or a Sunday. So you get the episodes much quicker that way, if that's important to you. And the big thing we've recently added is discount codes. So you can get significant discounts on Jeep parts and Jeep-related goodies. I think our highest discount is 25% with Trails Off-Road for annual subscription. So
nice.
Yeah, that was wonderful. 25% is huge.
It's huge.
Yep. So go over there and have a look. Again, jeeptalkshow.com/contact, the very top of the page, you will see where you can click on the little Patreon symbol and find out more about being a patron on the Jeep Talk Show.
Well, Tony, you're going to let us in on the Jeep Cherokee owners are advised to park outside story.
Well, you can let us know about that, Wendy. What's that all about?
What was interesting is I was trying to figure out, you know, so basically the headline read something about park outside due to fire risk, which makes everybody want to open that up, right? So if you own
immediately.
Is it mine? If you own a Jeep Cherokee between 2014 and 2016, this is Jeep's answer. They are asking you to park outside due to a fire risk associated with the powered liftgate. And apparently, you don't even need to have the engine on. So they're just going to recall about 132,000 vehicles to fix the issue.
Voluntarily. Can you imagine? Involuntary, from what I understand. This they're not being forced to do it. So
yeah, it's not a recall, right? They're just saying they are saying they're recalling it, but I don't think they're making you do it.
Yeah, it's not a federally mandated recall. This is something Jeep or Stellantis is doing on their own.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. Park outside away from anything, like a building structure, trees, dry brush, the forest.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to do a good insurance job on, you park next to that. So Chuck, you've been messing with Jeeps from a long time ago. Do you remember fire issues?
So I'm, no, to answer it succinctly, no, but I'm trying to figure out, what is a powered lift gate? Is that like you can throw like a refrigerator on it and then it picks it up and sticks it in the back of the Jeep?
I bet you this is that wave your foot under the back bumper and the lift gate opens up.
Or press a button, so like it's if it's up high. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a, yeah, you push the button and then.
I don't know how you open that that door. I mean, I'm used to the Cherokee where it had a handle, and you hit the button to unlock all the locks, and then you press the handle and lift up the gate. And if you're not paying attention, you smack yourself in the chin.
So if I happen to have like 4 or 5 cases of like White Claw, I'm coming out, and I can move my toes because I have like flip flops on, my painted toenails would say, "Hey, lift gate." Crocs. Well, I'd be wearing Crocs in four-wheel drive.
First off, Chuck. First off, Chuck, if you had painted toenails, you're probably not lifting all of that White Claw by yourself. You've got to have someone helping you, right?
Right. Yeah. I have a cooler with wheels on it because I've got all this White Claw, but no friends to help me carry it.
I can see painted toenails, arms full of these White Claws, and a nice cape. It's good cape weather, you know?
And a satchel. You have to have a satchel. You use the powered lift gate, you have a satchel.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, one step closer to hell if you have a powered lift gate. It'll catch on fire all by its own.
Well, now, however, you can check to see, because it does say that if they were built between February 27th of 2013 and September 9th of 15.
And how do you even check that out? You have to request a build sheet or something?
It's in the door.
VIN number.
Is it on? Okay.
We'll give you a...
Do you go online and look that up, or do you have to call somebody?
Just open the door, right, Chuck? You got a whole little. Well, maybe these are all too old and it's not on the door anymore. But usually, it's in the door.
I think there's like 13 thingies. Yeah.
So it has. So you can look up this information, and it doesn't burst into flames while you're using it.
If you smell
smoke, as it's outside, it'll be fine. But if you have it in your garage, it'll just burn your garage down because it doesn't want to be known.
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, if you've got one of these Cherokees, 2014 through 2016 Cherokees, the new ones, not the XJs, they caught on fire for completely other reasons, usually wearing a hole in the fuel line.
That's right.
So, you know, check it out and call them up and say what, and just call them up on the phone and say, what the hell? They'll know that you're calling about the Cherokee fire issue.
There you go.
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. That's right.
Hey, this is George in Northern California. I just listened to episode 810, your interview with Trent McGee. Loved it. Awesome guy. Fun fact, with the first annual Rubicon Scramble, which I believe was in 1999 that I went on, he rode along with us. He was with Peterson's 4-Wheel and Off-Road and actually did a nice article. I think we had 10 or 12 CJ8 scramblers on the Rubicon Trail, went all the way through. So awesome adventure. I'm sure he doesn't remember me, but that was such a fun time. He did a great job. I think he was just starting out in the industry. Good to hear how he's doing. And I love those manual transmissions. You got to have that gearing. My scrambler is down to 125:1 crawl ratio. So got the NV4500. Atlas 2, 456 gears, so good stuff. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good shows. Bye.
So I gave Trent a call and asked him if he remembered you, George, and he did not. So good call on that. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. And, you know, I'm saying that, I'm wondering if there's a reason why people don't call into a voicemail.
Because you call and harass them afterwards.
Good job, Tony.
Well, that's a perk on Patreon now. So
is that it? Yes.
Call you and harass you.
Tony's going to give you a call. Could be good. Could be, you never know.
Oh no, it won't be good. It may be funny, but it won't be good. Funny to me.
Press record, please.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, thank you for the call. We really appreciate that. And contrary to what you may think, I really, really enjoy hearing from you guys. Even Steve-O, like hearing from Steve. Bob. Bob's another big voicemail caller.
I'm good without Steve-O. Like, he's just there for us, you know? Like, Steve, you just don't have to. Well, you're fine. No, I like Steve a lot. He's good, guys. He's a good dude.
So, you know, Wendy, it struck me that we've been asking people to give us reviews here for several weeks, and I haven't been checking for reviews. So I checked for reviews today, and I found a few, and I think you have one for us tonight.
Well, yeah, I'll do that right after my little announcement, if you don't mind. I'm going to tell you some good things about the trails in Southern California. You guys might remember back in early March, a couple months ago, I asked you to write letters to everybody possible because the Forest Service and their infinite wisdom decided to shut the forest down till June 30th. Okay, it's what now, in the middle of May. Anyway, they opened the trails last week, so we are super excited, and thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody who wrote letters to get those trails back open. There was no reason for them to be closed, no damages, no issues, just the supervisor of the Forest Service decided that she didn't want people on the trails. So, anyway.
You kids, get off my yard!
Yeah, exactly, so... Anyhow, what I wanted to do is just kind of mention, everybody give some ideas when you are getting on the trails. We've sort of all been waiting for months because usually wintertime is a great time for us to wheel out here in the mountains. So I know Bill
this
and I,
year.
Not this year, not with 8 feet of snow for crying out loud. And some of the trails, I think, still have snow in the upper elevation. So just be careful out there. But Bill and I are planning some good trail runs this year. We're excited about getting back out there. And just a little hint, we are planning a day for JTS listeners in August for anybody who wants to come out and wheel with us. I'll give you guys the dates and more information. I'm planning to do kind of an easier run for maybe newbie listeners, people that are new to listening and or driving. And then we'll do a run that evening at night, yes, for a harder run.
Oh, nice.
Or difficult, yeah. So it'll be an all-day event. If you do both, you'll be tired. We'll be tired, but it doesn't matter. So anyway.
It's a good tired.
Hey, it's wheeling. We don't really care. We're all doing having a good time. So I'm going to get that information nailed down. I got to work out a few little details, but I will be getting that information to everybody. So anyway, by the way, so just some information I'm going to pass along as reminders for anybody running trails in Southern California. And this could apply to other parts of the country, but just a reminder, stay on the trails. Please don't be going through fences and drive on the areas you're not supposed to. I don't know about your area if you're listening, but in our San Bernardino National Forest and all forests that I'm aware of, there are no campfires allowed. I know it sounds like a good thing to do. Maybe I want to camp. Maybe I want to hang out, get a fire. That's what everybody has a visual of, but no, can't do it. It's illegal. Just don't do it. Plus, we don't need a fire in our forest. Don't forget to pack it in, pack it out. Another thing, too, is there's a lot of snakes out right now. Holy cow. Actually, we call them sticks with lips. I don't know if you guys have heard that before. Chuck probably has. Sticks with lips.
Lips,
yeah.
sound inviting. I think I would use teeth.
No.
Sticks with teeth. Spicy, spicy sticks.
You know, I think that comes from riding horses for so many years that when you're on trails and you look at sticks, essentially, and you're like, is that a, oh no, that has lips. We need to go a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just call it sticks with lips. But anyway, there could be other critters too. Deer, depending on your area, there could be bear or whatever, but just be careful and be aware that there are going to be animals out because the winter was so long that a lot of them are coming out of their hibernation and or just trying to find food. So a lot of them are in more rural areas or coming into more city areas looking for food because it's been a long process for our winter.
Gotta find the food, yeah.
Yeah, so another tip I want to give is to please air down your tires. I've done episodes in the past on it. It does help with traction and erosion, plus some comfort, but we want to make sure we're taking care of the trails. And, you know, if you're an experienced Jeeper, make some room and time for a newbie who may want to join you. I think it's our job as mentors to help train up the next generation, and it's kind of what Tony's doing at the next Jeep Talk Show event. Just come on out, have a good time. Doesn't matter your level of experience, there's bypasses, they will get you through. And that's really what being a Jeep owner is all about, is making it fun for everybody to enjoy the journey. Maybe you have lunch and a view spot that you've never done. So one other thing I want to mention, if you are going on the trails, especially out here in Southern Cal, take all your recovery gear and your tools. Don't forget those. You know, there's been some water and snow damage, nothing that could really be a serious problem for us in Jeepers, but more than likely you're going to be helping somebody like Toyota's out there, right? Come on. Mm-hmm. We want to help other people out. So, and last but not least, you'll like this one, Tony, take photos of what you're doing and post them on our JTS Facebook page and Instagram. We'd love to see your photos.
Just hashtag make sure you're tagged. Jeep Talk Show.
Thank you. And tell us where you were too, right?
And,
hashtag.
And I want to also add in hashtag stick with lips.
Yeah, sticks with lips. You got to watch it, man. They're out. And of course, up here in Big Bear, I think I've talked about this. Those rattlesnakes are black. They're not brown like the diamond heads that you see in the desert. So it's totally different. So anyway,
so Wendy, Chuck's
probably aware of that.
You, Wendy, you mentioned the event that you guys are looking at doing in August. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this has been discussed anywhere. And maybe she hasn't even discussed it with you. But Julianne from Wrangler Her and Wendy, you're looking at doing a special Women's Only episode. Mm-hmm. And so I've been having conversations with Julianne, and Julianne is very interested in having a Michigan Jeep talk show event. Yeah, that would kind of go along with the episodes that we're having here. How wonderful would it be, events? How wonderful would it be to have events in various parts of the country? I think that would be so cool. And I know the East Coast people are bitching about no GTS events. And when
that's
they
right.
And when they bitch about it, I say, hey, why don't you have a Jeep talk show event?
Put one on.
In the East.
Yes. I mean, that's what we're doing out here in Southern California. We had a great one last year. Of course, it rained on us, as you guys remember, but mm-hmm. It was cool. I think August is going to be really nice, and the nighttime run is going to be awesome. It's going to be spectacular. So,
and I think what was it, Chuck? You were thinking about having an event there on your ranch, and everybody got to get a free cow if they showed up.
If they could catch it.
Yeah, if you can catch it.
Yes. You've got to bulldog it out of your Jeep. Yeah, so take the doors off. Put a man.
Awesome. you just never know when there's going to be a Jeep talk show event. And frankly, you know, the event doesn't have to be anything spectacular. It doesn't have to be for hardcore off-roaders. I mean, that's not what the Jeep talk show is for. The Jeep talk show is for everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, the more the merrier, especially if they're Patreon subscribers. See how I worked that in?
That was good, actually. We'll have to come up with some extra swag bags for the Patreon subscribers, don't you think, Joe?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I'm serious. If you're in an area of the country and you hear us talking about these events, or maybe you can't make it out for 2024 Easter Jeep Safari, we understand. I mean, I understand, but it doesn't keep you as a loyal listener for having an event. Just contact us, and we'll work it all out with you and start promoting it on the show.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Speaking of, Wendy, I have to say that
as you were saying, you as the experienced Jeepers, you need to make room and bring people in. And I'm a huge advocate for having newer Jeep people ride with me in the back seat, because mm-hmm. they can reach the cooler. See, so when I run out of beer, you can just look back and go, "Hey, you back there? I don't know your name, and I don't care. But get me a beer real quick."
Dang it,
great, man.
Beer dispenser. That's your name.
Gosh, darn it, Chuck. Right. Where have you been? Because I always put them in the front seat so I can give them a full experience. But now I'm going to put them in the back seat. That's a great offer. That's a great idea.
Put them in the back seat. They get your drinks. Hey, make me a sandwich. You know, it's wonderful. I love them.
I like it. And how about you air down my tires, and then when you're done, you can check everything at the end. I like it.
That's what the wife's for. The wife airs down my tires, and I don't have any of the fancy ones. She gets a rock and puts it into the Schrader valve, and then I walk around, drink beer, and it takes her like 20 minutes, and you know, you get four or five beers in there, and all right, let's go.
So, Chuck, you're
so kind, Chuck.
Your wife is coming with you to the June 3rd event, right?
Yes. Well, someone's got to make my coffee.
So I am going to make a point of doing an audio interview with her and catching you in all your lies.
Oh, my God.
I know you don't make her do all those things, but you like saying it just to piss her off.
Oh, you might be surprised. She asked me the last time that we took the Scrambler out. She said, you know, is there a faster way to air these tires up? And I go, oh, no, honey. It just takes that long.
You did not do that to her. Oh my gosh, she needs to reach out to me. I'll show her how to do it better. 7 years old.
I'll bring an air pump, a bicycle air pump out.
You guys, oh my gosh.
True story, my air compressor is like 27 years old, and it is hurting for certain. And I just walk around, and she just sits down there with a little, you know. Yeah, you'll be all right.
You're so cruel.
So you're going to get a power tank, aren't you? I mean, after finding out about the idea of getting the big tank.
She's going to love it when you do.
Oh, he'll do it. He'll be filling it up himself with a power tank. You watch.
On his tires, it'll take like 3 seconds. I mean, seriously.
Damn it, Wendy. My tires are not that much smaller than your husband's.
No, he was on 30s when he started listening to the show. Now he's on 42. So to John and Bob and all those people.
That's true. Okay. Well, it's still not going to take you very long to the power tank. You'll be done in no time.
That's right. And then she'll complain about, well, you made me use the hard one, but you use the new nice one that goes so fast.
Exactly.
It's a typical wife. She's going to find anything to complain about.
Well, anytime she wants to come wheel out here in Southern California, I'll put her in the front seat. I won't make her air down the tires. She'll have a great time.
I'll just say you don't.
Actually, I Googled where Big Bear was. You're just right down the street from our family.
Know
that, Wendy?
No, I did not.
Yeah, we have family there still. I don't know, somewhere down in Southern California. I don't visit him, but I might now.
So, I just want to mention this to you, Chuck. When Roger went out to EJS 2023, he and his wife both went, and they each had their own Jeep. So, I'm just saying, men that really love their wives, give them their own Jeeps.
Oh, great. Is this going to be for Bill, too? Come on now.
Do you want a Jeep?
True story, Tony. Tony, true story. My wife actually has the most rare Jeep of our collection. Ooh. She tells me about it all the time, and the fact that I have not put new tires on it so she can't drive it and ruin it. But she does own her own Jeep.
There it is.
You're so kind, Chuck. I had no idea.
I am a giver.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you just need to buy her a Gladiator.
We talked about it again.
Oh. All right. Well, I have a review, guys. Tony, you mentioned that earlier that we need to be checking more often when people do call and give us a review. So this is from Driver of Trucks. I'm assuming it's probably the big 18-wheelers.
I'm guessing. That's what I'm guessing, too.
Yeah. So this is what it says. Great kids. I'm not sure who he's referring to or she's referring to. I start every week hitting refresh on my phone to get the latest show from the JTS team. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, open. Yeah.
I can't wait. Love the show. They are great kids. See? Love Jeep so much, I named one of my four-legged kids CJ. Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Well, thank you, Driver of Trucks. Love that review.
Tony hasn't been called a kid since like 1943, so Tony is so excited right now. He's like, man, I'm 78 years old and I'm still a kid. This is great.
Yes, but what they don't realize is if he's naming his four-legged kid CJ, that means kids are goats, right? Right, Chuck? So we're all goats.
Could be kids. Could be goats.
I'm a cattle rancher.
Yeah, not a goat.
Could be an ugly biological accident on the farm. You never know.
Which is what my dad used to call me.
Still does on Father's Day.
Oh, no.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Jeep Talk Show 2021 Gladiator and specifically snorkels. So,
really, Tony, in Texas?
I'm just going to ask everybody here, what is your opinion? And we'll start with you, Wendy. What's your opinion of snorkels?
No. Sorry. I think there's a place and a purpose for them.
So this is like a show where we talk. So those one word answers are a big negatory, good buddy.
I just said they're actually, I'm sure there's a good purpose and places for them. I don't see the need for them for what we do in our wheeling, but I'm not in a dusty environment. I don't go underwater. I don't go to the beach. So therefore I don't need one. That's me.
All right.
You asked.
Oh, of course. And I want your answer. Chuck, what about you?
The taller, the better. I mean, if you have a snorkel that's up there like 14 or 15 feet, like that is the cat's meow. Like, absolutely. You see them like in Europe and shit. I mean, that is like the coolest crap. I watch them. They drive down into like the ocean and just drive all the way to China. It's neater than crap. I love them. Yeah. Seriously. I don't know, like on a Baja rig, like I can see it, but on Jeeps, I don't see it. I don't know. I think there's certain Jeeps that they look good, but I don't know if they're functional, like how people really think they are. I do understand that, there are some dust issues some places, but underwater, probably a new Jeep's not going there anyway because of all the computer stuff. So I mean, teach their own, but I'm not an advocate of them. No.
Because I've noticed, I put one on the XJ a number of years ago, and of course posted up pictures and stuff, and ran into quite a bit of negativity about it, and like hostile negativity.
Really?
Not just, oh, I wouldn't do that, or I don't care, I'm not going to comment. It's just like, well, what else did you do? Did you hook up the diff lines? Did you hook up the, you got automatic transmission or standard? Did you hook up the airline for that so that when you're underwater that it doesn't fill up with water? Did you do this? Did you do that? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, I didn't. But that's not the whole point of this. The whole point isn't to go through mass depths of water. It is if it floods and you get into a bad situation, it at least gives you the opportunity to perhaps save your life and not just stop in the water that you got yourself into. Or maybe
that's a good point.
Or maybe, or maybe you're in a spot where you're above the water, but you need to, it's not a good place to stay there. Well, for example, the whole Jeep build, my whole XJ Cherokee build started because we were threatened with a Category 5 hurricane right after the major one in New Orleans. I can't remember now what it was called. That one that killed a bunch of people. So I'm thinking to myself, do I want to sit out there on I-10, not moving for 12 hours trying to evacuate? Or do I want to use this Jeep that I have to be able to get my family to safety? Oh, and by the way, there may be some water if the hurricane hits before I can evacuate. Would a snorkel help? I think it might. Yeah. It might not, but not having one, you don't know. So I thought it through, but I was just really surprised at the really hostility of how dare you put a snorkel on your Jeep.
Well, there's ignorant people on any aspect of anything that you do, whether it's, you know, you're a chess player or you're into motorcycles or you're into hot rods or you're into, you know, rice rockets or you're into Jeeps. And this is kind of the school that I come from. It's your Jeep, man. Who cares? If that's what you want to do, like, I get it. Like, you have very valid points. And even if your valid point was, I like the looks of it, well, so fucking what?
Mm-hmm.
Let you do it. Like, who cares? It's these guys that get all hung up on stupidity, it's like, well, they're just showing their ignorance. Like, okay, go fuck yourself. Like, excuse the language, but, you know, it's like, come on, man. It's whatever you want to do. And you have a very valid point. Like, yeah, you're probably going to screw up some electrical if you go up underneath water that high, but, you know, it might get you out and get you safe and... Yeah, more power to you.
Yeah, I mean, deal with those issues later, or it may be a loss. But if it's saving your life and the equipment had to be the thing that died for it, and it probably will never happen. Don't get me wrong, it probably will never happen. It's just one of those things that I looked at it and said, well, in my area, we get tropical weather, and I think it's just in general a good idea. But as you already mentioned, Wendy, it was originally designed, the snorkel was originally designed down under in Australia for very dusty environments.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's another thing to look at on this. And frankly, I was glad that I had the pre-filter and the snorkel in Moab because it was very dusty. It was dusty all over, but I guess it was a little less dusty, you know, 6 foot in the air than it was 2 foot in the air. So, I was glad I had it, but I also noticed, and I didn't do a count or a survey or anything, but I came back and I thought about it and said, you know, I don't remember seeing snorkels on Jeeps. And I often wonder, you know, if you're out in a Jeep with a snorkel, are people looking down on you? Well, that person just doesn't know what they're doing. They have a snorkel on there. Why? Is it just for looks? And who is this person? And you lose respect from the community. And I'm sure you guys have run across that stuff, if not directly, indirectly, or at least heard about it or heard people talking about it. Like, why is somebody, and we do it ourselves when we see somebody with 22-inch wheels. I think that's justified, frankly, but it's not an off-road rig if it has 22-inch wheels. Can it go off-road? Absolutely, but it's not the best situation.
Well, Tony, actually the M38 came with snorkel. So Jeeps have had snorkels for quite some time, and those Jeeps are actually all completely waterproofed. The exhaust is routed way up. The snorkel is way up above the cab. I'll copy a picture of it and show it on the show notes. But functioning snorkels are a thing in Jeeps, and if done properly, absolutely can work. Mm-hmm. So they've been around for some time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the World War II, you could certainly imagine. I mean, you damage that vehicle, you're walking, and you may not be able to carry as much ammo or all kinds of things, or the 50 cal attached to the back of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, and do either one of you guys have cold air intakes?
I don't think so. I just have whatever the regular intake is. Mm-hmm.
So you spend a couple hundred bucks, and I think that's a correct statement. Spend a couple hundred bucks, and they give you this big filter that's in a box without a front and a side. It's just kind of an L-shaped thing, but it's all under the hood, and you know the engine is under the hood, and the engine right. kind of generates heat. So I'm just kind of confused about this whole cold air intake thing. It seems like to me that intake would be much better outside of the vehicle, not under the hood. So if you really want cold air going into your engine, it's going to be a lot colder coming from a snorkel than it will be a cold air intake. And it's so funny. You can just put a label on something and then boom, it's now a cold air intake. A slightly cooler end air, maybe. I guess I could go with, but cold air intake. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not cold air if it's inside the engine compartment.
Mm-mm. So, and I mentioned the pre-filter earlier. The pre-filter is kind of a cool thing. I mean, you have a filter in the air box that the snorkel plumbs into. So you're going through that filter, but you can also put a pre-filter on there. Yeah, it never ends. So that it goes up at the top of the snorkel. Now I have the one that kind of does that air spinny thing. So, and then the dust and debris and insects and stuff, they all drop out into a little groove, and you can pull the pre-filter off and empty it every so often. And actually I was kind of surprised it didn't get more full out at EJS. I think I only emptied it once, and there wasn't a lot of stuff in there. But it may be just the heaviness of the dust that it wasn't heavy enough to actually fall out while it was doing that spinny thing. But they actually make a pre-filter sock. While I was researching this, I thought it was really, really interesting. So it's just basically a little sock that you put over the front of your filter, one of the standard curvy ends on the snorkel, and called Unifilter. And I believe it is I think it's an Australian design, and you can find them online, unifilter.com. And I think it only comes in red. Maybe I just looked at the red ones.
Oh, jeez. Of course it does.
But maybe they got black, but I would get the red one if I was you.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Pre-Clean 44. It suits large Safari Ram heads, including R-Max. I would assume it kind of looks like it's about the right size for the Rugged Ridge AM FIB snorkel that I have on the Gladiator. And a side note, I can actually remove the snorkel from the top and put on another cover, and then the air will be pulled from the side of where the snorkel mounts on top of. So it's kind of hard to describe. You'd have to go over to the Rugged Ridge and have a look at it. So if you don't want to have the snorkel sticking up, you can still get cold air into your system. And I think it actually, you can buy it without the snorkel that goes up the side of the windshield there. You can buy it just where you have that side snorkel that's at body height. What's that little panel called that's part of the cowl system, but it's the curvy bit on the sides, on the ends?
I actually think it is called the curvy bit on the side. I think that's exactly what it's called.
We'll go with thingy, on the cowl. Thingy or curvy thingy bit.
This whole episode's been about thingy. Here we go.
This might be the title of this episode. Thingy.
Thingy. Check it out. What the thingy is.
But so I can actually switch it so that is the snorkel So it just pulls in air right from the side of the Jeep, and it's outside. Of course, you're not going to get the benefits of being up high in a dusty environment. You'd have to be careful about water crossings, a little more careful than what you normally have to be. But that's really high, especially on a lifted Jeep. Just up there at the very top of the hood is quite high up. It's probably, what, about 4.5 feet? So that'd be a lot of water you'd be going through. A lot of carpet you'd be changing, too. So anyway, it's really cool. I like having the snorkel. I just was surprised that I didn't see more Jeeps out at EJS with snorkels. But I think it has a lot to do with the same attitude that you displayed when I first asked about this, Wendy. It's like, no, yeah. I'm not in the environment. I don't need that.
I don't need it. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I do know the foam filter deal that you're talking about, this pre-filter. On the top of a V8, you know, if you've got the 14-inch round air cleaner like all the V8s, you know, have had, mm-hmm. you know, since the beginning of time, you can get a foam deal around it, and we do run those. When I lived up in Northern California, absolutely, we had that, and they would get completely caked with dust. And, you know, at lunchtime, you're making some sandwiches, you just open up your hood, you knock that stuff off, and you put it back on, and your air filter would be clean. There would not be dust at all, and it's very easy to fix. So that part I am familiar with.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. It's just the sock is a little less has a little less structure to it than that foam stuff does, but it does exactly mm-hmm. the same thing. And somebody may ask, does that restrict air into your engine and, you know, rob you a little MPG, little MPH as well? And yes, it does, because you're impeding the airflow into the engine. But so the sock is really neat, because you don't have to run the sock while you're going there, driving in the highway or whatever. Once you get to where you're going, slip the sock on and do your wheeling. And when you get done, remember to take it off. And now your miles per gallon and smiles per gallon are doing really good, because you don't have to work on the engine as much. So I was thinking about this. Actually, we talked about snorkels on the last roundtable, and I think I don't remember if it was me that brought it up or somebody did. Wendy, have you ever heard of a Cal intake?
I have.
How about you, Chuck?
A cow intake?
Cow.
Yeah, you
not
take cow. A cow inside.
Not, it's not.
Oh. Not cow.
C-O-W-L.
Like you take the cow inside?
I love sure. steak, too, so I will intake me a lot of cow. A cowl yeah. intake. So that same area that we were talking about with the little curvy thingy bits on the ends, there in the middle where there's those little slots in the cowl right between the hood and the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way that you can actually yeah. make that into a cold air intake. Yeah, it's really cool. I had forgotten about this, because this really was an XJ thing that I remember seeing on the Cherokee forums years ago. So you can, they make these kits, and I don't think this is something that's so complex that you can't just make yourself, buy off-the-shelf parts and make yourself. But basically, you cut a hole into the firewall, which leads into that cowl area, and now you have you can suck in air from that cowl. It can be a little noisy if noise is a concern for your Jeep. You may be in the wrong vehicle, but it does give you the ability to pull the colder air from outside and straight into your engine, and it's relatively inexpensive and cheap. And now I have a couple of pictures here in the show notes for the host, and we'll have this in the show notes for this episode. And that episode is what are we on? 8:15. You can go and look at jeeptalkshow.com for episode 8:15 and see these images. But in this image, it actually shows the cowl area uncovered, and you see an air filter in there. So this is something similar to those cold air intake filters, although I think this one's a little shorter. And so you're literally just sucking in air from that cowl. And again, that's the bit between the hood and the windshield. You know where the windshield wipers are, just below that little grated surface right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company called, what was it? I had it right here. I don't have it right here. Anyway, it's a company called Thor, and they have these things for the XJs, the TJs, and the LJs, and I think a Grand Cherokee. I forget which model, but they even have one for a Grand Cherokee. You can go check it out. They may have one for yours, but like I said, I think with a little thought, you can build one of these things yourself. I personally would just go with the external snorkel, but if you're worried about snorkel envy or snorkel hatred, this might be a cool thing for you to do, where you get all the benefits and you don't get all the negative sayers like, well, did you hook up all those lines to everything else before you go through water butt knuckle? So it's just not worth it. Just go for the thing. Trailheadoffroad.com is where you can find these Cal snorkels for your XJ, TJ, and LJ.
From the mind of Nikki G.
Hey, this is Nikki G, and I'd like to apologize for my serial killer joke. It takes a certain type of person to really get it, which reminds me, Chuck, you talked about setting your timing on your friend's Jeep, and you turned a distributor one way and advanced the timing. You turn the distributor the other way and it retards the timing. Yeah, we don't really like to use that word anymore. It's called ignitionally challenged now, but that's not why I'm calling. Call and find out. Did you hear about the circus that caught on fire? Yeah, it was really intense. I'm laughing and that's all that matters. All right, boys and girls, I'll chat you later and have a good one. Bye.
I'm going to say right now, I'm taking my seats out of my Jeep this weekend. Right now. Like, there's going to be a bucket. I'm sitting on a 5-gallon bucket, and I'm going to look at that man and go, one, I don't know you, and two, hell no.
Well, make sure you line the bucket with a pool noodle and put in your poo powder first before the bag. Oh, you'd probably do it upside down. My mistake.
Yeah, road cone.
Well, that just amplifies the farts, man.
Oh.
Yeah, totally fine. Sorry, Wendy. Wendy's here, too. Where's Wendy?
No,
Wendy
it's all
knew,
good.
Wendy knew what she was getting into.
Exactly. I'm learning.
All right, so we're going to have another interview coming up, and this one is going to be extra special because it's one of the Jeep Talk Show team's own, Larry of Jeep and Mo. Larry literally filled out a form to be on the show and do an interview, and it was a lot of fun talking to Larry. You don't want to miss that later this week on Friday, our interview episode day. Oh, and Larry, the Jeep and Mo Jeep Talk Show team member, is also Duke's number one fan. So go to Larry's site, jeepingmo.com, and maybe you'll find out who Duke is.
He's the best.
Yeah, very knowledgeable guy. Yeah, Larry is incredibly knowledgeable. I love Larry to death.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Duke. Everybody wants Duke to ride with him.
Well,
all right. I'm good.
All right, so I don't think either one of you guys have this issue, but maybe you do. Do you have a problem with the grays, specifically on the fender flares, maybe your bumper caps, maybe all that stuff?
Things that used
to be nice and black and new are now just an ugly sun-baked gray.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That got my Jeep. Yes, it does.
So there's various ways that you can make those grays go away. I was thinking of a butt plug joke, but I'll leave it alone.
Good night.
You know how to break the tension when you're an abductee on a UFO? You get one of the grays to pull your finger. If you don't hear anything, then you know how far along they are in the process of testing.
All right. I'm totally blaming Nikki G. Nikki G's. Damn it, Nikki. I know you're freaking listening right now and you're laughing. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
He did not sign up for this.
He's going to comment on it next week. Watch.
He is, but it's never going to stop. That's the problem. Please don't. That was a horrible joke.
Don't talk about it. It goes away. Everybody knows that, Nikki. Just don't talk about it.
Just let it go.
Chuck's a dad. He knows about pull my finger. So there is a way to take care of this. Now, there's been several ways that you could take care of it, and one of the ways was taking a torch to the fender flare.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, it does. Burning but it, it? Well, you heat
no,
it up.
Just lightly.
Yeah, you heat it up, and then the oil kind of comes to the surface, and those grays go away for a time, but they come back, and sometimes you get little droopy bits, depending on how aggressive you are with the flare. The flame, yeah. So anyway, I have found something that works really, really good, and it was pretty funny when I found it. I think I was cruising through Lowe's looking at the various paints. Now, you know, the flares are flexible. So the paint that you put on it needs to be flexible as well. Because if you put stuff on there that's not flexible, when the flare flexes, the paint will crack.
Right.
So I found this stuff, Rust-Oleum Black Automotive. It's 11-ounce can. It's specifically called a trim and bumper spray matte finish. It's 11 ounces, and it is $8.60 right now on Amazon. It literally has a picture of an older model XJ on the, on the label.
That's crazy.
I said it with Krylon.
Yeah, good job, Tony.
So I've actually used this stuff on the 99 XJ that I had. That was the XJ that still had the factory fender flares on it. I tried the torch thing and it worked, but it leaves a kind of a pattern and it doesn't last very long at all. This black paint lasted a really long time. And the great thing is that when this starts changing color, you can just spray it again. You know, do a little sanding, smooth things out, and spray it again. And you get this nice black color. This is good for TJs, for LJs, for XJs, anything that you have that's black and getting gray on your Jeep, take it off the Jeep before you paint it, damn it. Don't be like me. I tried it out. So, quotes, finger quotes, tried it out on the 99 and had to clean up the overspray. But the flare looked great. So
Tony, because I'm incredibly ignorant on, you know, the plasticky type parts. Mm-hmm. You can't just spray like a hard plastic, even though it is, you know, technically flexible. You can't just spray it with regular old spray paint.
You can. It'll look great, but I believe it will crack. It doesn't even have to be from a flex thing. It could be from the sun heating it up. You can take, and I've never done this, but I've heard that you can take any paint and put some polymers and stuff in it to make it elastic. And anything mm-hmm. that is flexible, you have to do that. Otherwise, it's going to crack on you. And you know how much it costs to paint something. I mean, to have it professionally done. So you want to fix the situation on the fender flares, not make it worse. And if you wind up cracking with cracked paint, now it's worse because you got to do a lot more prep before you can paint it again.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When I was, 2.5 minutes before the show started, I was perusing what the hell we were going to talk about, and I saw this.
Kudos.
Yeah, and I was like, are you kidding me, Tony? A can of freaking spray paint? But now it makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. this is pretty cool. Yep. I get it. I need to put some plastic fender flares on something so I can paint it.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about the metal ones. You really don't have to worry about that. But this is, it's something that I've gone through. And I was actually talking to somebody on Wrangler messaging, direct messaging. And they were trying to figure out how to do this stuff. And I went, just use this stuff. And I sent them a picture of this can. And I thought, well, this is stupid. This is knowledge that I have direct knowledge of this and how well it works. I should put this on the show. And it just came to me a few minutes before finishing up with the show notes. So, it just really has to do with talking to a Jeep Talk Show listener about it. So I figured if they're going to benefit from it, so should you.
Thank you.
Not you, the listener.
Oh, no, shit. I thought it was all about me. Damn it. Sorry, Wendy, you too.
Yeah, about you too, good. Wendy.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Jeep Talk Show. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and review of your favorite podcast platform. It's on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us improve the show and reach out to more Jeep enthusiasts like yourself. Also, don't forget to follow us on social media. I'm supposed to insert some kind of social media handles. I don't know what those are, but you guys do. And sign up for our email newsletter and stay up to date on the latest Jeep news, events, and giveaways. And finally, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, we would love to hear from you. Go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact and you find multiple ways to contact us. And thanks again for listening. We'll see you on the next episode of the Jeep Talk Show.
So, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, not Pinterest, though. Never Pinterest.
Google. Is Google a thing?
No, that's not.
Not for this.
Yahoo?
It's a search thing. Yahoo would be kind of like a search thing, too. The social Word. Media. Social media is where people post pictures and videos and stuff. YouTube, I guess, could even be considered social media. And we're on YouTube as well, so.
You are? Hey, where the hell have I been?
No, in the field. Hey, by the way, even bad smells can bring back good memories.
Oh gosh!
Think about
you're
it.
Right.
You all are now thinking of a really bad smell. Like, oh, that was so much fun. It was horrendous, but it was so much fun.
Broadcasting since 2010.